Good morning. 38 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Joining us, Dr. Ann Bradley. She's an economics professor and vice president for the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics in the Washington, D.C. area. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. I know you were on the road last week in Texas. What were you up to? I know a lot of times you'll speak at Christian schools. Can I ask what you were doing?
Of course. Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was in West Texas in Lubbock, and I spoke at Texas Tech University as well as Lubbock Christian University. It was really fun.
And what was your topic?
We were talking about the believer's call to flourishing and why economic freedom is really important for us to live in a flourishing society, both for us to flourish and for us to make contributions to, you know, the kind of the common good. So it was really great. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff.
Now, those schools, one Texas Christian, not necessarily Christian, and the other Texas, was the other school Lubbock?
Lubbock Christian.
Lubbock Christian.
Yeah, Lubbock Christian University, which was explicitly Christian, and Texas Tech University, which was actually is a very kind of secular state school. So there are more challenges when you're doing that kind of thing in that environment. But I think it's a good thing to do.
I'm curious, when you go to a secular setting like that, where a lot of students have been kind of steeped in, for lack of a better word, socialist ideology, or let's just say communist ideology from some of their professors, how do they respond when you present some of these ideas?
Well, I kind of tried to start and I say, here's the thing. If you're a believer, I want to compel you that the scripture has very specific commands for what you're to do and how you're to live your life. And as an economist, I can bring in some ideas that are also from scripture about how we make that happen in our own lives. So it's, you know, kind of the journey to stewardship. And so I say, if you're a believer, I really want to make some strong assertions that this is what you're supposed to do. If you're not a believer, maybe it's something for you to really think about, that Christians, even if you're not one, have a role in bringing about a better world. And isn't that exciting? And I think that that piques their interest in some ways. People don't walk out and everybody gets converted. But you never know how that kind of stuff is going to work in people's hearts and minds. And so I'm thrilled to be able to do it.
Well, we are thankful that you were out there on the road and you're speaking truth. That's a very important issue. So in the last week or two, there's been a lot of controversy about Donald Trump and his tax returns. And of course, the different political parties have very different views on taxation. We thought it might be helpful to take a biblical look at taxes today. First of all, why do we pay taxes in the first place, Ann?
Well, we pay taxes to support what the government needs to do. And so, you know, the government and kind of the market, so your private decisions like shopping in Amazon and shopping at Starbucks and at the grocery store, these are private exchanges between you and Amazon. When you drive on a road or, you know, the space program or national defense, these are types of things that are public exchanges. So you're making an exchange in some way, it's not as direct, with the government, whether it's state or local or federal. And so the government needs cash to be able to do that. And the government is not like Amazon. It can't sell toothbrushes by day and then engage in kind of philanthropy and road building at night. And so the government has to have a mechanism for bringing in revenue. And taxation is just one way to do that. There's other ways too, but taxation is really, in a government like the United States, most widely used. I mean, you can engage in inflationary practices, but we know that those are very damaging. So legitimate, you know, kind of well-functioning governments tend to try to minimize things like inflation. But we also do sell bonds, and that gives the government cash now, but they have to pay it back later. So taxation is just one way for the government to get some cash to be able to do the things it needs to do.
If we were to draw a pie chart of government spending, can you give us kind of a rough idea of what percentage of our tax dollar goes to each of, let's say, the broad areas of government spending?
Sure. So if you look at government spending, and of course, this is, you know, really changes over time, but you're looking at about Social Security and kind of transfer payments, Medicare payments are about 30%. If you look at education, it's about 6%. If you look at Military and defense spending, it's about 20%. We also have to pay on the debt, so that's about 6%. So, you know, there's these different, if you look at, like you said, it's a pie chart, and there's different chunks, and we spend in very different areas. And I would say that, you know, our taxes are funding those different chunks. So national defense is a great example of something that would be hard for the market to provide. It would be hard for an Amazon or a private company to provide national defense. Where it gets a little sticky is, are there things that the government is currently doing that we have to pay for that perhaps it's just not as suited to do? And one could use education as a possible example, healthcare as a possible example. And so those are just discussions I think Christians need to be involved in, because we need to understand how we can encourage our government to be the best steward of our resources as it possibly can.
What percentage of that pie chart goes to welfare, food stamps, the entitlement programs?
So transfer payments, yeah. So actually, when you think about transfer payments, they're in the billions and billions of dollars. So they take a really big portion of government spending. And here's, again, for Christians, what we have to reconcile ourselves with and ask ourselves is, are they doing good? Are they helping people? Because this is a growing portion of what Americans pay in taxes. And here's just a little bit of data for you. The federal income taxes were instated in 1913. So before that, we had no federal, you know, kind of the federal government had no way to pull money from our private income. So in 1913, the top marginal tax rate was 7%. Huh. Today, it's about 39%. In the 40s, it was 94%. So it has varied extremely. But that's just top marginal tax rate. You know, the average tax rate goes between 10 and 30% today. And so the question is, we're asking Americans each year to give over more and more of their private income to these bigger programs, which include national defense and, as you mentioned, welfare and transfer payments. And, you know, the question is, can we stay on this path forever, which is a growing and increasing government that needs more cash? And as the government needs more cash, it has to get it from somewhere, and it tends to be received through taxation. And so these are some of the concerns that, I think Christians are really compelled to be a part of this conversation.
4 years ago, Mitt Romney got in hot water for saying that about 50% of Americans receive some sort of transfer payment from the government. But that's true, isn't it?
It is true. It is true. So, and here's where I have concerns about that figure. If we could make a claim that the government, the federal government perhaps, or maybe the state or local government, is the best way, the best institution to give money to people who are vulnerable and need it, then we could say, okay, great, let's do that. But when you look at the way that transfer payments are received and who gets them, so there are people that live at the bottom of the income distribution who really need the help. And we could make a claim that that's a good way to use taxes. But if you look at that figure, we're giving a lot of transfer payments to people through subsidies who are not poor. And so this kind of brings up a different question, which is, why are people who are not poor getting kind of handouts or benefits from the state? And that's kind of this bigger conversation that I like to call corporate cronyism, which involves different subsidies and loopholes that corporations will establish in many cases to try to benefit themselves at the expense of others. And that's actually going to hurt the economy.
Our guest is Dr. Ann Bradley. She's with the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics in Washington, D.C. We'll take a break and be right back here on Faith Radio. Good morning. It's 49 past the hour at the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. A lot of people focusing on taxes, Donald Trump's tax returns, will he release them? But the bigger issue this morning is taxation in the first place, and are we doing it right? And Ann Bradley is an economist. She's with the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics in Washington, D.C. Ann, let me ask you this. How does the Bible address taxation, and do we see it addressed differently in the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Well, So this is a really great question, and I think for believers, it's where we have to start. And I think what we need to understand when we're looking at the Old Testament, especially if we're looking at the theocracy that was established for the Jewish people, then we can understand that we gain principles for our government and principles for us for how to live. Perhaps not exact translations into what we should do and what our government should do. But what you can see there is that there is a government, and the government does have responsibilities to its people, and people have within that society have responsibilities to each other. And that, I think, is something that we really need to focus on. What are our personal responsibilities to our community that are outside the state? That's perhaps the bigger question for later, but it's part of this question. And then we think about, and I would say, we think about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And that tends to be the passage that most people go to in Matthew, where they're trying to understand what the role of the government is and what the role of taxation is. And, you know, this is a verse that we need to be careful about how we understand. It doesn't mean that no matter what the tax rate, no matter what the government's doing, we are obliged to pay. In fact, you know, this is a response of Jesus when his enemies are trying to trap him by asking whether it was right for the Jews, whose nation had been taken over by the Roman Empire, to pay tribute to Caesar. And so he's saying, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. And I think that's an important distinction for us, too, that God is sovereign over everything, over the whole earth and everything in it. And so the government, to the extent that we can help it be legitimate, meaning that, you know, the type of government we have in the United States, where we have transparency and representative types of democracy in our republic, then there are things that we should you know, voluntarily pay our taxes for, like national defense and the rule of law, things like this. But you can look across the world and see lots of illegitimate governments that oppress people. And I think that's a different question of how do we help people there and how do we help them maybe establish better governments. And so taxations can be a tool for flourishing, and taxation can be a tool for the government to oppress people. So it's not a blank check for the government to say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want and I can spend as much as I want and you just have to pay me taxes. Because ultimately, that's going to damage flourishing, which is what, as Christians, we're really after.
So what is the government's true role when it comes to taxation and spending, according to Scripture and to our founders? And does the U.S. government currently go beyond that role, in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think you're right to cite the founders here when we think about what does Scripture say. And, you know, part of what we're told in Romans is that the government is to punish the evildoer. And so you can see a mechanism there where the government would provide for law and order and courts and establishing and protecting property rights, which we see all the way back in the Old Testament with the Ten Commandments, that property rights are important from the get-go. And so somebody's going to have to arbitrate property and property disputes and contract law. So those things fall out of Scripture very easily. We can see them. I think where it gets more, and the founders, you know, not all of them were Christians, but certainly they were influenced by these ideas. And they understood that for people to flourish, they had to be free. And to be free means your government can't take over all parts of life. And the Scripture doesn't reveal that to us, that the government should dictate every aspect of our life. Actually, what the Scriptures tell us is the Lord dictates all of our life, and that we are, in our fear and love of the Lord, to actually engage in a lot of self-governance, which means we have to restrain ourselves from doing anything we want to do. And I think our government has to restrain itself. So your second part of your question, do I think the U.S. government has gone too far? I mean, I think by the standards of our own Constitution, it's gone too far. But I even more so, perhaps, in a biblical sense. I think, you know, the fact that you can pay taxes right now and that those taxes go to an organization like Planned Parenthood, it's very easy for a believer to say, that is not right. That is not okay. And, you know, the problem is, what is the recourse for believers on that? Well, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to go to jail eventually. And so this is a real problem. And the government should stick to the things that the market can't do, which is national defense, rule of law, things like that. And so I think we've really exceeded our bounds in a very, the example I just gave, very immoral ways. And so I know Christians, myself included, wrestle with that. What are we supposed to do? It's a tough question.
Mm. Just got about a minute left. What are some possible solutions to overtaxation, Ann?
Well, I think the first is we have to be aware, first, of what the scripture says. And then I think as believers, we have to get in the public square and advocate for these ideas. I think we have to hold. I mean, one thing we can do that's not going to get immediate results is to hold our representatives accountable for what they're doing and for what we think is beyond the scope of what the government should do. Because if we don't do that, no one's going to. I mean, the representatives themselves are not going to restrain themselves in this regard. So we're going to have to get out there in the public square, and I think we need to pray. I think these issues need to be talked about in church on Sunday. I think we need to not be afraid to talk about our role in a freer world within our congregation. So I think those are little things we can do in our own lives to really bring light to some of these issues. Because otherwise, I'm not sure how we're going to reverse the path that we're on.
Well, we also should mention that your organization has some great resources for churches and pastors and individual Christians. The Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics. Give us the website. I know it's all letters here, but let's write it down slowly.
It's all letters. That's right. So it's T as in Tom, I, F as in Frank, W-E.org.
The
and
Institute.
If you go to the bookstore, yeah, the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics.
There you go. And go to the bookstore.
You go right to the bookstore and get some of these. Yep, great. Absolutely.
Dr. Ann Bradley, thanks again for your time. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.